go verse by verse through the whole chapter of Joshua. Not today, of course, all of it at once. I could probably get close in an hour, though, covering the whole book. But we'll just, you know, we don't know what timetables are in front of us. We don't know when the new pastor will start, who the new pastor, we don't have those details. So I'm just going to start doing Joshua. We'll see how far we go before we have a new senior pastor to take over the afternoon service, which I'll be very happy when he gets here, whenever that is. So we'll just do Joshua chapter 1 today. The title of the message is Strength in Transition, which is what's happening. I know Pastor preached a message from the transition between Moses and Joshua. Hopefully I'll say different things than he said when he spoke on that. But I talked to him about it. He said he stayed back in Deuteronomy mostly. I'm going to stay in Joshua and just highlight some stuff from Deuteronomy. But there is a big leadership change, big transition going on in the book of Joshua for Joshua. I can't even imagine what he must have been going through. All of a sudden, Moses is dead, and you're the leader of all this whole nation. You're the man. But we'll look at the details. We'll look at how God prepared him and how the people responded to that leadership transition. But we'll just read verses 1 through 9. Then we'll cover the other verses as we're going through verse by verse. Joshua 1, verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it is. Thank you that it speaks to us, that it is alive, that we're not wasting our time at all when we look at your word, when we have you communicate to us. I pray that you would speak to us now. Please work in our hearts. Please give us the strength that we need. Please just help us every day to be who you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the background leading up to Joshua chapter 1 is Moses was leading Israel. He dies. Need a new leader. If you go back up to Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, I'll read just a couple of those verses. Actually, we'll go to verse 5. "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So Moses is dead. Moses is gone. Out of the picture. People mourn for him 30 days. Great, great leader. Very close relationship with God. But he's gone. Now Joshua comes. Well, he's been on the scene, but God's like, all right, Joshua, let's go. You're the man. You're in charge. Let's go forward. Which takes us to Joshua 1:1-2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. I wonder if Joshua was nervous about that day coming. He knew it was coming. And now, you know, waiting for that voice, when's it coming? But God says, all right, Joshua, you are the guy. Verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So Moses is dead. You're the new leader. Rise up and lead. I mean, that's what we have. Moses is dead. Let's go. It's a big task. Was Joshua ready? Could he even do it? Did he even want to do it? It didn't matter. God told him to do it. That's where he's at. God said, you're the leader, lead. But God had been preparing him. And I want to look back at a few passages. We're going to be flipping a little bit and reading a little bit, but it is church after all, and we can look at our Bible. We can see what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 17. We see Joshua. This is basically God preparing Joshua for his ministry to be the new leader of the nation of Israel. So in Exodus 17, verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So here's Joshua serving with Moses. Moses says, we're going to fight this battle. Go fight. So Joshua led the victorious battle against the Amalekites. Then you read verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Verse 13 and 14. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So Joshua was instrumental in leading the battle. Great story. We're not going to go through that story today. But you see Joshua being prepared to lead. He's leading in a battle. Then you go to Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. And from this passage, we see that Joshua was a minister. Joshua was the servant. He spent time with Moses from the time that he was young. So it's not just like God plucked Joshua out of the group of people and said, I want you to lead now. Here you go. There is steps in preparing him along the way. Numbers 11:28, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid them. So there's stuff going on there. But what I want you to see is that Joshua was a servant of Moses from the time he was a young man. Then go ahead to Numbers 13. Verse number 16. Numbers 13, verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. You remember who the son of Nun was? Joshua. So Moses is changing his name from Hosea, which is salvation, to Jehoshua, to Joshua, which the Lord is salvation. So you can see Moses spending time with Joshua. You can see him working. You can see Joshua being prepared for his leadership role. Then go to Numbers 14. Verses 6 through 10. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Then go down to verse number 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Then verse 38, But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So we know the story. 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know that song? Fun. We won't sing it together. But Joshua and Caleb gave good report saying, let's go take the land. The other 10 said, we can't do it. Ended up the people wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to kill him because they had faith in God. They believed what God had said. So more background with Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 27, verses 18 through 23. I told you there's a lot of verses to look at. Numbers 27, verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, and all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him before the judgment of Urim, before the Lord, and his word shall go, at his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So we see Joshua being commissioned for spiritual service to assist Moses. Then we go to Numbers 32. Only have a couple more. Numbers 32, verse number 12. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So we see testimony of Joshua fully following the Lord as he's going through his youth, as he's growing up serving with Moses. We see him following the Lord. Then we got to change books, go to Deuteronomy 31. Only two more to look at. Deuteronomy 31, verse 23. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge, and said, Be strong and of a good courage. They say that to Joshua a lot. Have you noticed that? Be strong and of a good courage. He probably needed that encouragement. For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So Joshua was commissioned a second time that he's going to replace Moses, that he is now going to be the leader of Israel, and he's going to lead him into the promised land. And then Deuteronomy 34, 9, And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom. God had prepared Joshua to be this leader, to lead this great nation. God just didn't throw him to the wolves. He had been preparing him along the way. So here's Joshua. He's prepared by God. He's been called by God. He's commanded by God to lead this great nation into the promised land. So let's look at the details of what takes place over the next few verses. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So God says, Joshua, let's go. We're going to go into the promised land, lead these people. Then he says, where your foot touches, you're going to conquer that. So he lays out the borders for him. On the west is the Mediterranean Sea coast. I don't know if you can picture the map in the back of your Bible. But on the west, the Mediterranean Sea coast. On the east, the Euphrates River. On the south, the wilderness over the Nile of Egypt. And then to the north, Lebanon. So God is just reassuring Joshua here. Hey, here's all the land you're going to get. Take the people. Let's go. I'm with you anywhere your foot touches. You're going to conquer that land. So imagine being Joshua. Imagine getting this leadership placed on your shoulders. I don't read Joshua asking for it. But God does prepare him. God's with him. God's saying, you're going to do this. And now he's being encouraged by God. If you go here, this is your land. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. It's all in there. God's encouraging him. But verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can you just imagine Joshua, all that burden, and God says, hey, you saw how I dealt with Moses. You saw how good I was with Moses. You saw my faithfulness. Start going. Take this people with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm here. What a comfort that must have been to Joshua. Then go on to verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So he's given confidence by God, and God is making his promise good to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Remember Abraham? God promised him a land, a seed, and a blessing. Well, throughout ages, throughout the Bible, we've heard about God's made that promise to Abraham. Then he makes the promise to Isaac. Then he makes the promise to Jacob. And now, here they go. They're headed into the promised land, the land God has promised them. So God's just reassuring him, giving him that confidence. Then verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So God's giving him confidence again. Only be thou strong, very courageous. But then he goes on to tell him, hey, Moses gave the law, I'll just read it, to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Where did Moses get the law from? God. So it's God's word. God's saying, hey, pay attention to what Moses wrote down for me. Follow that. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Then, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So God's taking up two verses here to tell Joshua to what? Follow him. Follow his word. Meditate upon it. Let it come out of you. If you do follow my plan, which God knows what's best, God's plan is best. If Joshua follow his plan, guess what? His way will be prosperous. From God, he was promised that. And in studying that, Colossians 3:16 came into my mind. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And it's interesting in the context that it's written in. It's in the middle of Paul's giving direction in Colossians 3. And he's saying, get rid of this, do this. You know, this should be part of you, this shouldn't be part of you. Giving instruction to these people. And right in the middle of the passage, his guidance for them is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Paul lays out what they need to do, what they shouldn't do. But the governing body of it all is God's word. It's so important. And we can get away from it. We can go to our preferences, what we like, what we want, what we think is good. When bottom line, it comes down to, what does God's word say? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. God instructed Joshua to be led by his word, and the same thing stands for us. We can have confidence in God's word. We can trust in God's word. But it needs to be dwelling in us richly. And that's when we get into trouble, when we start running with our opinions and our thoughts, our desires, and it has nothing to do with God's word. We just think, well, that makes sense. I'll run with that. But what we need to be doing is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And God spent two verses telling Joshua, hey, meditate on this. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I've told you what to do. I'm with you. Be confident. Just go and do it. And it's interesting that that verse was my class verse from high school, which now was 12 years ago. I know, I'm an old man. But I had no idea what was going on there. I was like, oh, that's a great verse. You know, be strong. Joshua needed that. He needed that encouragement from God. And now, you know, where I'm at, where we're at, it's like, well, that's good stuff. I'm going to grab onto that verse. You know, it can be our class verse again. But God's just been encouraging Joshua, reassuring him, I'm with you. Be courageous. Go forward. Verse number 10, Joshua's response. God's been telling him this stuff. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, so how does Joshua respond to all this instruction? He goes to work. He goes and gets the officers. He says, let's go. Verse number 11, pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So God's given us the land. He says, let's go get it. They had been close before. They ended up wandering. Another generation dying off. Here they are again. Joshua is saying, let's go. We're going to cross this river. We're going to take it over. Verses 12 through 15 are, well, I'll just read them. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, why it's important he's talking to those two and a half, it's a half-tribe of Manasseh. Why it's important, we find in Numbers 32. We'll talk about that in a second. But Joshua gets the officer, says, you go tell the people, get ready to go. Joshua himself goes and talks to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. So, I don't know how many of you remember what's going on there, but Numbers 32, these tribes had made a deal with Moses, I guess you will, to stay on that side of the Jordan River, to not even go over into Canaan to possess that land. They wanted to stay on that side of the Jordan River. So let's look at verses 20 through 27. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of your armored men over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before them, and the land may be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over every man armed for war before the Lord to battle as my Lord saith. So they make this proposition, hey Moses, can we stay here? We want this land. Moses says, you can have this land, but so everybody else isn't discouraged, you're going to go over with us and you're going to battle. Once we have the land, once we've won that battle, then you can come back and you can possess your inheritance on this side of the Jordan River. Verse 33, and Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and unto the half tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and of the king of Og, king of Bashan, the land, with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. So we see that they're going to get this land, those 2.5 tribes, if they will go in, if they'll fight with the rest of the nation of Israel. Those big names are really easy to read to yourself. Have you noticed that? Mm-hmm. Then you try to say them out loud, and oh, that's not what that says. But it gets me every time. So we see what's going on here. We see that Joshua sends these leaders, go tell the nation of Israel, get ready, we're going to fight. Joshua himself goes and addresses those 2.5 tribes, and he says, hey, remember that deal you made with Moses? It's time to act upon that. And to me, I think of Joshua, the new leader. He didn't delegate that. He could have said, hey, somebody go tell those people you have to fight too, even though you don't get any of the stuff we're going to get. Joshua stepped up and did something that was probably really uncomfortable for him. He's standing in there telling these men something that they could say, you're crazy, Joshua. We got our land. We got our fences built. We got our houses. You're crazy. You're on your own. So imagine Joshua sweating a little bit. Verse 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Here it comes again. Only be strong and of a good courage. Do you see that support Joshua had? Like, they could have said, you're crazy. They could have started throwing stones at him, which people seem to like to do in the Bible. You know, they could have tried to get his head. But what did they do? Hey, as long as you follow what God's saying, we got your back. Anyone who tries to rebel, we'll throw rocks at them. They're going to put them to death. Only be thou strong and of a good courage. He was encouraged by the people. And he's encouraged by God. He's encouraged by the people. Everybody's got his back. Now they're ready to go forward. So that's Joshua's change in leadership. That's a long time ago. That's Old Testament. That's a great story. What about us in 2013 with our leadership change? with what we are facing, how can that story help us? I think you could see stuff as we were going through. I think you could say, whoa, that sounds like us. For me, it was so encouraging to dive into the book of Joshua and be like, thank you, God, for putting that here. I feel like a new leader. I feel this transition coming a little bit. First of all, we still have the same all-powerful God. Just like we talked about this morning, our God is all-powerful. He can do anything. We still have a God that promises to never leave us or forsake us. I don't know if you caught that in the passage, but Hebrews 13:15 says, God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have that same promise standing for us. We have a God who knows who our next leader will be, and he has no doubt been preparing him. I don't doubt that one bit. Whoever is going to be filling this pulpit, God has been working on him. God has prepared him. And they will be our new leader. Our previous leader prepared us for the leadership change biblically. He took an entire month, showed us from God's word what could happen, what's probably going to happen, how to react, how to respond biblically. Not emotionally, you know, not lumping with some group, not none of that stuff. He showed us how to respond biblically. So we have that going for us. He even left us with a recommendation. I don't know how often that ever happens when a pastor leaves that he has someone recommended, but we can put some weight to that. We can be encouraged in this time of transition. I believe that. We can be encouraged to look forward to what God has for us. Whatever it might be strong and of a good courage. We can grab onto that. So as church members, we must be in prayer about this. Not going through the motions, checking it off. I prayed for our church today. But seriously, seeking God, that effectual, fervent prayer, that energy prayer, that's what we need to be doing for our new leader. We must be supportive. We must trust God and support our new leader. Can you imagine the weight lifted off of Joshua's shoulders when the guy said, hey, we got your back? Whoever comes in, whoever the new person might be, it's going to be, he doesn't know you like Pastor Hall knew you. It's going to be new for him. There'll be, are they comparing me? Am I doing this like Pastor Hall? What's our job? If we truly believe that he is God's man, we're to support him. As long as he is following the Bible, meditating on his word, letting the word of Christ dwell in him richly, we're to be supportive. We're not to be judging, which would be easy to do. I think of the poor candidate coming in, preaching that message, his first message here, like, oh, did I say the right thing? Just thinking of 100 people judging, hanging on every word that you're saying, that's not really fair, but what else do we go by, you know? But we just got to be careful to not be judgmental, to have that grace we've been taught from God's word, to be not comparing. That's going to be a big one, to not compare. Well, Pastor Hall did it this way. Well, so what? He's in West Virginia, right? As long as he is following God and his word, we are to be supporting. We must be loving as well, which that's just something general we should be doing all the time, right? Loving God, loving others. As disciples of Christ, we should be loving others, period. We must be lifting up the new leader in prayer, that energy prayer. That's got to be part of us as a church. We want to stay strong. We want to stay together. We want to keep moving forward. Well, let's bathe this thing in prayer. Let's pray for our new leader. Pray for him before he even gets here. Because we want to go through this together in the right way, and we want to encourage this new leader. So we've been given an example. What are we going to do with it as a church? We've got time. We've got time to prepare our hearts. We've got time to be praying. We've got time to be thinking, talking with God, letting his word dwell in us richly. We've got time. We've got a couple weeks before this potential new pastor comes. Let's make sure our hearts are right, our motives are right, that we are being fair with God, that we're being fair with this new candidate, instead of casting that judgment or whatever it would be. And when they're here, let's love on them. Let's show them, you know, whether God calls them here or not, show them we are a loving church with a living Savior, like our sign said. So we've been prepared. Let's handle this like we should. Let's stick together, seek God, and love each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the relevancy of your word, how it can speak to us from so long ago. It's still alive. Please help us to handle this transition like we should. You've given us the strength. We can have the confidence in our all-powerful God. Please be with us in our future. Please direct us. Please be with the new pastor coming in, whoever that might be. Pray that you would start working in their hearts. Please start knitting us together right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.